Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Dayton, Ohio, and earned a Master of Science degree in education from the University of Dayton, and a Doctor of Philosophy degree in higher education from the University of Toledo. He's served on the Tiffin, Ohio City Council for 17 years and in various senior roles within higher education for 35 years. In February of 2015, he became the first lay president of Madonna University in its 78-year history. His name? Dr. Michael Grandillo. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Jack Rasula. This is Anything is Possible, and we're talking to Dr. Michael Grandillo, who's the first lay president of Madonna University in its 78-year history. Doctor, welcome. A real honor to have you.
It's a real honor to be here, Jack. I've listened to you for so long. It's amazing that I'm here with you today.
Thank you. Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad?
Well, I had a great childhood, Jack. My mother was from Steubenville, Ohio, and my father was from Cleveland, Ohio. But I grew up mainly in Dayton, Ohio. I'm the grandson of three Italian immigrants, and my maternal grandmother was born in a West Virginia coal mining camp. My father lied about his age at 17 and entered World War II. He was on that boat in the Pacific Ocean where the Japanese surrendered. He said, "Michael, if they didn't surrender, you wouldn't be here today." But the real reason I wouldn't be here today is because of the GI Bill. He went on to get a bachelor's degree from Ohio University, a master's degree from Case, and became an academic professor at the University of Dayton. My mother and he married because they had something in common. They were Catholics and they were Italians, first-generation Italians. And we had a great childhood in Dayton, Ohio. Centered around our church at St. Rita's, you know, he really reached out and grabbed the American dream. And that's why I'm in higher education, because of that. I learned social justice and community service and giving back to the community from my mother. She used to put us on a bus to downtown Dayton and go to civil rights marches and Catholic social service meetings. We only had one car. My dad was studious, fair, and honest, and that's what he taught me.
Doctor, what was it like growing up in an Italian home in a neighborhood back then?
I hope there's still neighborhoods like that. My mother was a great homemaker and cook, and my grandparents taught us about family. And until you experience that feeling, it's hard to describe. But there's all the ethnic groups had that, and they came to America for that. And it was about church, religion, family, and friends. And that's really what it's centered on. And what else would you want?
We were raised by that greatest generation, and they epitomized, they lived sacrifice.
Right. As I said, we had one car. Even though my father entered the middle class, my grandparents had more savings than anybody I know today. He paid off his house with $9,000 that he earned at the mill in Steubenville. I know you had Danny Abramowitz on the show, and that was the first autograph I ever received, and I know you like autographs. And my uncle, who's a booster of Catholic Central High School in Steubenville, gave me that, and I still cherish it today.
Some people, the word on the street is that you still have your first communion money.
Yeah, my kids do, too. I taught them that.
What kind of student were you growing up?
Well, I was a little more shy student, and people would be hard to realize that. I was average, and I think I'm proud to say that. I'm a very good reader, and I'm a very good writer now, but I wasn't. And I think the Sisters of Precious Blood at St. Regis Grade School really played a different role in my life. I'm keep in touch with all my teachers, and those teachers trained me and taught me and saw something good in me and kept me going. Athletics played a role. Boy Scouts played a role. Those are the same things that played a role in my family. I tell people, an average student could become a president of a university one day.
Where did you get your love for education?
Well, my father was, you know, because the Italian community and our grandparents said there's two things you have to do. You have to play a role in government, and you have to play a role in education and use education to do that. I had a great career at Ohio Northern as an athlete, a member of a fraternity, and a student. And they honored me many times, but they got me my first job as an admissions counselor. And I had four presidents I worked for. Two of them are coming to the inauguration. One's 90 and one's 82. Those two presidents and the other two really made a difference in my life and helped me develop.
From 1985 through 2001, 17 years, you were on the Tiffin, Ohio City Council. Tell us about those 17 years.
Well, I was so happy to do that because I was a political science major and I loved government and service. Local government's closest to the people. I had a ward of 5,000 people in a town of 20 that I was responsible for. It was on the south side. It was mainly represented by St. Joseph Church. I walked door to door in my first election as only being in town 2 years to win that election. And the amazing thing was is that people want to be heard and want to be listened to. And government is good. Too many times today we say our government officials are bad. I've known presidents down to city councilmen. And I really think they're really trying to do a good job. And government does work. And local when it's local to the people, it really is. I'll tell you a quick story, Jack. Nancy and I got the job in 1985, and we waited 2 weeks for the first phone call. And I said, Nancy, when is somebody going to call to help us, that I could help? And said, well, somebody will call. So finally, somebody called on the phone. And they said, Grandillo? And I said, yes. Are you the new city councilman? And I said, yes. He goes, I got a problem. I go, Nancy, this is the time we could help. He goes, my trash has not been picked up for 2 weeks. And I said, well, you thought about calling the city trash department? He said, no, I didn't want to go that high up on the political ladder. So that's when I learned to not take yourself too seriously. But you got to make a difference in the world.
What's the biggest thing, Mike, you learned from that 17-year experience?
That was a fantastic time in the growth of the city. And providing jobs for people was the most important thing we could do. We were able to do some economic development things to keep people employed. But I learned that every person makes a difference, and every job has human dignity, and that's what we need to think about.
We're talking to Dr. Michael Grandillo, and I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Crisula, and we're with Dr. Michael Grandillo, who has served in various senior roles within higher education for 35 years. Doctor, what's biggest changes in higher education in your 35-year career?
The biggest change is that in the early years, people came to us, and now we have to go to them. This is a very, in Michigan's even more unique. It's a very, very complicated and competitive marketplace. In some ways, there's more schools than there are students. But I think people want service out of a college today, just like anything else. They expect to meet them where they are. So we have a lot more student services for people. People come to us from a variety of ways, from veterans to adult learners, to traditional 18-year-olds, and you have to have the services and the need and meet their needs. Education hasn't changed very much. What happens in the classroom hasn't, except we now sometimes we do it online, on the computer, on the video, and so the mode of education hasn't changed, but the delivery's changed.
Speaking of 18-year-olds, let's talk about the millennials. 18 to 35, there's 80 million of them. That's 25% of our population. Tell us about millennials.
Well, the millennials were raised during boom times and peace times of the 1990s, and they ended their career as millennials with 9/11. So they lived in their sunny world was dashed that day, and their eyes became very open. Coming along after that was the war and the Great Recession. So they had the good times to have the good times and the bad times. But now the real thing is these 18-year-olds coming today, Jack, are Generation Z, and they're the new generation because this 18-year-old group coming in this year is Generation Z, and there's 60 million people, and they're going to change the marketplace, and they're going to change how education is delivered because everything they have done is instantaneous information. The iPhone, the iPad, and they expect instantaneous gratification sometimes. So that's the big thing. And so the millennials are going to start changing the world as leadership as they come through the pike. But this next group is going to be even more demanding. And we have a little, very many challenges in the families and the homes and where we're going in America. This generation is raised by many senior single-family homes, and they're a little more independent. They're back to the independent times that we saw during the 60s and 70s where people were not as dependent, but they still have helicopter parents, as we know.
As I talk to leaders, religious leaders, professors, they're all trying to figure out how we reach, how we inspire, how we win over these millennials and these Z kids.
Right.
What's the key?
Well, the key is that I think they want boundaries, and they want, I call hedges, what Hobbes used to say, the hedges that define our society. They want boundaries. They do like leadership, and they like religion. But they have not been exposed to it as much as the past generations. At Madonna, we're going to take these people where they come and hopefully bring them into the world of truth and justice and respect for all people and reverence for creation, education. But students need leadership opportunities. Young people do. The military did that. Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, I believe, still do that. And athletics still does that. And I think a strong program at a college or in a workplace could bring that. They want to be led, and they want to be developed, and they want to be mentored.
Speaking of wanting boundaries, let's talk about our parents versus parents today. In our day, our parents it was a dictatorship and discipline. Today, it's a democracy, and we have to accept the children. Dr. Grandillo, who's right?
Well, sometimes they were too strict in the old days, but probably that was a little easier and a little better. I think a combination of both is right, a little tough love and a little good love. I think Nancy and I had a great life together and have a great life together with our young people and the students we serve and our own children. We felt that when they join something, they don't quit. They at least try it out for the whole year. That everybody gets a trophy today. That's not always right. My son was a wrestler. Somebody has to lose. We need to teach that. And that's what we could do in education. And that's what we could do. If your paper's a C paper, that's fine, but we're gonna have to have you understand how to make that a B paper and an A paper. So we have to be a little tough.
Speaking of tough love, a lot of your students today were raised by single moms, and it's so hard for single moms to have tough love. What would you say to single moms tonight about tough love?
I'd say that it's tough to do it by yourself. So it's a big town. Detroit's a big place with a lot of great institutions. I would tell people, get a coach, get a Boy Scout leader, get a priest, get a male person in their life. And we spent a lot of our personal time, my wife and I, mentoring our children, but other children. I really believe that the activities in band and art and music and athletics and Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts and activities is the essence for that. And we need to, as a community, lift those programs up and as individuals, volunteer for them.
A while ago, I had a lady on who's an expert in families. And she made a statement that many parents today, in the mistaken name of love, try to prevent the kids from experiencing the very things that made the parents who they are today.
Right. You have to fail. You have to fail to get better. Everybody's fallen, and we've gotten up. I think Scripture tells that very seriously. Jesus fell three times. Let us think about that.
How often have the Cleveland sports teams failed?
I even went to a sports bar down the road to see it last week. God bless the Cleveland sports teams, and that shows true faith.
Well, you're better than our Cubs, so.
No, you're in the playoffs, aren't you?
Yes. February 11th, 2015. The impossible happens. You're named president of Madonna University, the first lay president in its 78-year history.
And, Jack, that was a feast of Our Lady of Lourdes, of our Blessed Mother. So it was a great thing to do that. Nancy and I had some very good opportunities where to go. This was a fantastic place, lifted up by the Felician sisters in the spirit of Blessed Angela. I could not believe how beautiful their charism and what they do is. Sister Rose Marie and all the people there have done a great job. I was so humbled to take that job, to accept that job. And coincidentally, Madonna College became Madonna University on February 11th, 1991. So it was a great day, and we didn't know that at the time. But we are going to dedicate everything in our human power to represent those sisters and make this a great and better place.
Dr. Grandillo, you love the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. The Pope was just here named Francis. Can you share with us the prayer of St. Francis?
I'd love to, Jack. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console. To be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is giving that we receive, and in parting that we are pardoned. And it is dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.
Dr. Michael Grandillo, the new president of Madonna University. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Prasula, and we're with Dr. Michael Grandillo, who in February of this year became the first lay president of Madonna University in its 78-year history. Doctor, can you share with us the mission of Madonna University?
Madonna University is a Catholic Franciscan institution of higher learning that instills in students the Christian humanistic values, intellectual inquiry, and respect for diversity and commitment to serving others through liberal arts and professional programs integrated with career preparation based on the truth and principles within the Catholic Church tradition. And I'm so proud to lead that.
Tell us about the Felician Sisters.
Well, the Felician Sisters are one of the most important parts of our mission. It is our mission. It is our charism. It's how we're lifted up. We're lifted up by the spirit and charism of their foundress, Blessed Mary Angela. Can you imagine these five Polish sisters leaving their home country in the late 1800s and coming to a new land to serve immigrants? By barge and by boat, by train and on foot, they came to the shores of Wisconsin and were burned out and came to Michigan to lift up the mission of the immigrants of the Polish Americans in this community. They built churches, they built hospitals, they built career centers, they built education. They are the heartbeat of what we do in the spirit of Francis and Claire, in the spirit of that Italian cardinal that left Argentina to become Pope, that took that name boldly for France and Francis. They represent respect for dignity in each person, peace and justice, reverence for creation, and education for truth and service. That's what we live for at Madonna.
Dr. Grandillo, from a fresh set of eyes, tell us about Madonna University today.
Madonna's in a fine place. It's a fine place, both regionally, locally, where it's located. People don't realize how vibrant this community is. Its academic programs are contemporary. They reach out to the community and they make it what it is. They're focused on student success. There's excellence in the programs, and the campus is beautiful and welcoming, as you know, you were there. But this is a time of very high competition for both private and public institutions, and increasing enrollment at this time will be a high priority. I think the best thing I could say that we're going to do is we're going to tell the Madonna story more. We're going to enhance the fundraising efforts to remain affordable and accessible. We're going to raise the university profile throughout Metro Detroit. We're going to find ways to reach in how to help downtown Detroit and Detroit Central lift themselves up. And we're going to provide education to a new group of Americans and international students.
You have 123 faculty members. You have 3,200 undergrads. You have 1,200 graduate students, and they're one-third male, two-third female. And you've been very, very strong in nursing for 50-plus years.
Right. If I would say what's a signature program is nursing. I just met with the nursing faculty yesterday, and I told them that every place I go since I've been here, somebody tells me about the power of the nursing program, either from experiencing it in a hospital room or a doctor's office, or by being sending their students there. It is a premier program. It is high quality, and it's always done in the spirit of the Catholic Church. I am so proud of that program and so excited about it. Looking over that faculty yesterday, I see in their eyes their commitment to not only education, but to human service.
Speaking of spending time with the faculty, how are you getting to know about Madonna and its people?
Well, we're doing a listening tour, and it's been very, very exciting and fun. I'm spending 2 hours with each faculty member, asking their hopes and dreams for the college. And I start out the same way you started out today with me. I said, tell me about your grandparents and your parents. And we spend the first hour just talking about themselves. And I ask questions of where should we go from here? What do you think? Very many ideas have percolated up. And they want to do anything possible to have Madonna succeed. And I think that's the most important way to do it. And we're meeting with small groups and large groups, alumni and friends. And we have students over the house. We had probably 200 students to the house so far. And not just social. It's good to go to the president's house. But I say, give me the full report. Give me the direct report. And we get things done in those meetings.
Mike, when you married Nancy, you outkicked your punt coverage. Tell us about Nancy.
Well, I'm so proud that I got to meet her and honored that I happened to have that brief chance to meet her. That time in my life made everything possible. We've been together for 31 years in marriage and known each other for 35. This is an exciting time for both of us. But I couldn't have done anything in my life without the help and love of my bride.
When you and I met a couple weeks ago, and I came to your office, and Nancy was there, one of the biggest things that struck me was you guys are a team. And when Madonna hired you, they got two great athletes, not one. I don't know if they're paying for two, Nance, but you're the first lady of the campus. As you walked the campus and I followed, you're the eyes, you're the ears, you're the heart of that university. From your eyes, tell us what Madonna is.
Well, Jack, first of all, technically, I'm not the first lady, but I am the first spouse. And I want to set the bar high for anybody that comes after me, whether that be a husband of a president or another wife. It's been exciting to meet the students. We have our own children are still somewhat of college age, young 20s. And the energy in that age group is exciting. I've been able to meet a lot of students on campus for whatever reason, either because I've reached out to them because of a specific program or activity, or just because I've been eating in the cafeteria. So it's been a great ride so far.
What's been the biggest thing that has impressed you so far, Nancy?
Well, just the ability of these students to hold a conversation. It's been a real enjoyable experience. They're not timid about talking to an adult, and they're very excited to share an opinion when you ask them.
When you tell them you're from Ohio, how do they react?
I tell them that we're not too far from Ohio. We came from Northwest Ohio, so just 2 hours away. So that I think that alleviates some of their fears. But I do say that we've always been Michigan fans. We've vacationed here. We've come up for Tigers games. So we're not solely Buckeyes.
Talking to Dr. Michael Grandella, and that's his wife, Nancy. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Dr. Michael Grandillo. Medano University was founded by the Felician Sisters in 1937, and Dr. Mike is the first lay president in its 78-year history. Doctor, Medano University is a hidden gem under the radar. How do you plan on raising its profile?
Well, it's a hidden gem, but there's a lot to promote and a lot to raise the academic public presence of the place. We're going to be very vocal about our power of our mission and the power that permeates this town and this region. We're doing small groups and large groups. We're going to do something that we'll call, I'll use the example of Monroe. We're going to go to Monroe, Michigan, and we're going to go to the Bloomfield Hills, and we're going to go to places, and we're going to meet with the Chamber of Commerce in the morning. We're going to meet with the mayor in the afternoon. We're going to visit all the parishes in that area that day. We're going to go to the police chief with our criminal justice program and in the hospital with our nursing people. And we're going to go to the firefighters with our fire science program. And we're going to go to the high schools with our art program and our music program. And we're going to tell the Medano story. And at the end of the day, we'll gather all the alumni in the area and we'll get together for a big party and talk about it. We're going to touch people's lives, not all for advertising through WJR and its great place, but we're going to reach out to people where they are.
If you want to learn more, www.madonna, M-A-D-O-N-N-A, .edu. Doctor, what's surprised you the most about Medano University in these first few months?
What surprised me the most is the quality of the student body, like my wife said. They are very hungry for learning and for being at Medano. And the student body is not all just 18 to 21-year-olds. They're the single mother trying to get a lift up coming to school, or the middle manager that got laid off that needs to get retrained, or the manager needs to step up for a promotion. For veterans coming back, we want to really make sure that they are pleased with our services and we could change their lives through the power of education. And I found a group of people that really want to be led and really want to learn. Our faculty and staff are excited about taking the school to the next level. these are tough times in higher education, and I've found them to be interested in being nimble, quick, and entrepreneurial, which is exciting.
Paint us a picture of what Madonna University will be in 2025.
In 2025, Madonna University will be the largest Catholic institution in the state of Michigan. It'll be the largest Franciscan focus institution in the state of Michigan. It'll have residence halls that could be filled with 800 residential students. Our cafeteria will be bustling. Student activities in athletics, in music and art will guide us. Our education program will always be contemporary with the marketplace, but always hold true to the liberal arts, because the humanistic values of the church and the Christian values of the church will be amplified in 2025. We'll be more Catholic, but we'll also be more concerned about everyone and all the people that come to us, because all means all in our Pope Francis's words and in our words.
You and Nancy have two great kids, Vinny and Gina. Vinny's out of school, starting a new chapter, business, et cetera, et cetera. And Gina is a student at Ohio Northern University. That's where you went.
Right.
You went there in the late 70s. You majored in political science. You participated in Greek life. And you were on the student government and athletics. Your daughter is majoring political science, participating in Greek life, student government, athletics, and she's also president of the Student Senate. You were never the president of the Student Senate. So it's the circle of life. You were all those things, and now you're watching your daughter be those things. What's that like, Doctor?
Well, the first rule of generational religion and government and politics is to have your children do better than you. I lost that election by 14 votes for Student Senate, and she won it in a landslide. So sometimes things get better with the time. I want for her faith, hope, and love, and she has done such a great job of being a leader and using all the activities that Ohio Northern provides. I'm so happy that she is on the Board of Trustees, and her voice is valued. Some of my classmates are her fellow board members. Education and governance is in our DNA, and she's taken it to the next level.
Nursing, as strong a program as Madonna's had in 50-plus years, and today, as I go into these hospitals, more and more, it's the nurses that are running everything. The doctor comes in, he's looking at a chart for 2 minutes, or lady doctor's looking at a chart, and they're doing all this Obamacare stuff, and the nurses are telling the parents of the patient what's going on. They're counseling. They're doing everything. Talk to us about the role of nurses today in America.
Nurses today play such a big role, and that's what I was telling the staff yesterday when I was talking to them. In the old days, they didn't have as much. I'm glad their profession has lifted up. We've lifted it up at Madonna all the way to the doctorate of nursing. We create nursing leaders today and nursing educators, not alone nursing practitioners. The role of a nurse today is providing more and more services than they ever had. And what I'm so happy about is that they're prepared for it, that they have both the preparation and the compassion. And I've been very pleased to know our Madonna nurses and faculty think that way, but also the profession has been advanced.
Let's talk about athletics at Madonna University. You've had some very strong programs historically, men's baseball, women's volleyball, women's softball. But you have a goal of growing the athletic department.
Right. We have a great athletic staff, and our athletic director, Brian Rizzo, and the team has announced that we're adding 8 new sports: men and women's lacrosse, men and women's bowling, and men and women's indoor and outdoor track. We just met last night as a team about talking about how to increase track at Madonna. We don't have a track right now, but we will. And I'm real excited that the phone is ringing off the hook about these new programs. if that brings people to Madonna's charism, if athletics brings people to Madonna in this Catholic tradition, that's the best ministry we could have.
Historically, Madonna's been known as a commuter school, as opposed to a residential campus. How are you going to change that?
Well, we're going to slowly grow on campus and add some residence halls. We're anticipating a class next year of 250 of traditional residential students, which is 50 more than we had this year. And we plan to we're in a planning process to how we're going to build some residence halls on campus to serve them. 60 at a time of more apartment style residence halls, a place for them to go and congregate both in the summer and in the evenings and have a real residential experience. We find people from Detroit, downtown Detroit, the city of Detroit, when they come there, they want to live there. So we're excited that we think the marketplace will do that. And having the students on campus on a 24-hour residential experience allows us to have more people at Mass. It allows us to have more people involved in campus life and allows more people to grow and find friends like them.
As our time winds down together this evening, Dr. Grandillo, would you lead us in a closing prayer, please?
I would love to. In the spirit of Francis of Assisi, St. Clair, as we ask for the intercession of Blessed Mary Angela, let us be reminded that St. Paul said that we see through the glass darkly and know only in part. That's why he gave us the virtues of faith, hope, and love. Let us pray to that cardinal from Argentina that became Pope, who boldly took the name of Francis. Let us pray that St. Paul's words of faith, hope, and love are given to us this day. Faith in the mission of Madonna, hope for our students, a better life, and love for Our Lady in the spirit of the Felician Sisters. Thank you, Jack.
Dr. Michael Grandillo, Nancy, welcome to the Detroit area. You've quickly become a huge part in the rebirth of Southeast Michigan. Keep up the great work.
God bless you, Jack.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spahom.
Believe in yourself.